بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على نبيه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا مزيدا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, The Jannah continues to decorate itself for us. The mercy of Allah continues to descend upon us. And it's important for one to snap out of it, to wake up and to take off. It's from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He made the best days of Ramadan, the final 10 days. These are days you take from your physical rest to nourish your spiritual needs. You take from your physical rest to give your spirit its rest. Al-Bukhari and Muslim recorded from the saying of Aisha radiallahu anha that during the last 10 days of Ramadan, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would wake up his wives during the night and then wake them up to cook or for his needs, wake them up, and then he'd be fully busy in acts of worship so they can worship as well. In a narration in Muslim, he would strive to do acts of worship during the final 10 days of Ramadan more than he would do in any other days, in any other days throughout the year. In Bukhari, Aisha radiallahu anha said, with the start of the last 10 days of Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to tighten his waist and pray all night long. And he used to keep his family awake for prayer. Tightening his waist means that's indicative that someone is in hot pursuit, about to take off. He's tightening his waist so he can sprint and take off. Take off in what? Take off in ibadah. Some other ulama said that it's symbolic that he no longer, to mean that he no longer had relationship with his wife. He didn't go near them in the final 10 days. He was occupied in ibadah, he didn't have time. That was the opinion of Sufyan al-Thawri, and it's the more correct opinion because of the other narration that the Prophet that they described the Prophet ﷺ, وَطَوَى فِرَاشَهُ وَاعْتَزَلَ النِّسَاءِ, that the Prophet ﷺ folded his mattress and stayed away from relationship with his wives. We're not saying it's haram, but he was so occupied in the final 10 days that he did not even have relationship in those nights with his wives. Ibn Rajab rahimahullah said that he used to do what's permissible with his wives in the 20 nights of Ramadan. In the final 10 nights, he would be so determined and so focused in worship that he wouldn't even have relationship with them. If this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most fearful to Allah, as we always say, the one whose sins are forgiven, prior, present, and future, the most beloved to Allah, then what should we say who are not guaranteed that their sins are forgiven? We should imitate them. It would be unjust not to imitate them. It's betrayal to oneself not to imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in these matters as best as one can do. It's betrayal to oneself not to take advantage of such season. If one keeps delaying without taking advantage of such days, then what days, tell me, what days are you going to take advantage of? When you're in the grave and when it's too late? Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do in the final 10 days that which he never did throughout the entire year, as the hadith stated. What did he do? He used to pray at night. He used to make dhikr, read Quran, forms of worship, any form of worship you're comfortable with. Any form you're comfortable with that you feel brings you closer to Allah, dhikr, do dhikr. Reciting Quran. Prayer and Quran, do that. A lot of people ask, what's the best thing to do? Allah gave so much forms of worship because He knows the nature of human. Some matters may be appealing to some and not appealing to other. For example, the rak'at are different, 2, 3, 4, some are loud, some are silent. Some you need to do ibadat in other ibadat. Some are independent. So what's the best thing to do? It's what you're most comfortable with and that which brings you and strengthens your attachment with Allah. And there's some special dua for the night of Laylatul Qadr. We'll talk about that in an independent talk. You also wake up your family in these nights. It's sunnah. That's a specialty of the last 10 nights. Sufyan al-Thawri said when it was the last nights, when the last nights would enter, one should wake up his family to join him in prayer or so they can make their own salah. You get a reward just for doing that. What else you do? You pursue the night of Laylatul Qadr. We'll give an independent talk on that, inshallah. You also do i'tikaf in these nights. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يعتكف في العشر الأواخر من رمضان. ابن بطال said, the hadith show that it's sunnah to do i'tikaf in Ramadan. And also, it's also outside Ramadan. This is one of the abandoned sunnahs. And when a sunnah is abandoned, the more you do a sunnah that's abandoned, the more reward you get because you are reviving a sunnah. As we mentioned about some of the abandoned ibadat. Ibn Mundir and Shihab said, it's astonishing that the Muslims have left i'tikaf when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never left i'tikaf from the time he came to Medina until the time Allah took his soul. It is also narrated by Abu Huraira and Aisha that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did i'tikaf every year until he died. He did i'tikaf first in the first 10 days of Ramadan. Then he did i'tikaf in the second 10 days of Ramadan. Then he did i'tikaf in the final 10 days of Ramadan. And he remained doing it in the final 10 days. And that's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until his death. In fact, it was such an important thing to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Ramadan that when he missed it, he made up for it in the first 10 days of Shawwal the following month. The year he died, he did 20 years of i'tikaf, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Hajar said that's because the year before that, he had missed an i'tikaf because he was traveling. So he made up for it in the next year. He used to do i'tikaf in pursuit of the night of Laylatul Qadr. I'tikaf is to seclude yourself from everything and everyone to connect with Allah. You need to connect with Allah. The more one learns and loves and yearns to Allah, the more he loves to be secluded with Allah. One of the Salaf who used to spend plenty of time in seclusion in his house was asked, don't you get lonely at home? He said, how can I feel lonely when I continue in remembrance of the one who remembers me? It's a contact, it's a communication, it's a bond. Your relationship with Allah has a direct connection that roams around the heart. I'tikaf is purification for that heart. Fasting is protection from eating and drinking and relationship. I'tikaf is protection from excessive talk, from excessive sleep, from getting away from friends, to get away from friends and family and other matters that distract you even slightly. Distract you from what? From the complete obedience and connection with Allah. I'tikaf is to put the entire world behind your back so you can sprint forth to Allah. Today, they go to masjids to do i'tikaf and defeat the purpose of i'tikaf. They go there to hang out, to discuss, to talk. That defeats the purpose of i'tikaf. You're getting away from your family, so you won't talk to them. So you won't have any worldly connections. You leave worldly matters behind your back, matters distracting you from holding yourself accountable, matters that have been holding you down from Allah. I'tikaf is to strip you from as much ties of all worldly matters and to turn to Allah for a period of time in the best of all spots in the masajid of Allah. في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع. Imam Ahmad specifically said, it's best for the believers to stay away from mixing with people. Even if it's to teach, even if it's to advise, remain alone, connect with Allah and retreat to yourself. You find those who were in jail, and especially those who did solitary confinement in prison, the best of their times was spending time in seclusion, in cells, with their communication between Allah, with them and Allah. Truly communicating with Allah in seclusion has such a pleasure. Nothing can compare to it. One who loves another loves to be alone with them. That's a fact. They want to be alone with them in a bedroom, in a house. One who truly loves Allah needs that time alone with Allah. That's how you ask yourself, do you really love Allah? It's a training session. I'tikaf is a training session for the heart to turn completely to Allah. I'tikaf is severing all contact with creation to create, to establish a contact with Allah. Let's talk about some of the fiqh points that I was asked about. And they're really the top questions that I got on this matter. Does one have to do all the 10 days? He can do a portion of them. Let's say he has a job. He goes for 5 days. Suddenly they call him to work. He'll get the 5 days of reward, inshallah. Then when he finishes what he has to do, he comes back and initiates the niyyah for a new i'tikaf. The best is to do all 10 days. But even if one does a few days or even moments for a day, as we're going to say, even if it's short for 5 minutes, that's acceptable. Al-Shafi'i said on this matter, you're your own amir, you're your own leader. It's what you choose. You can continue or you can leave it whenever you want. There's no sins in it. Ibn Hajar in Fath al-Bari said, as long as one did not do another, meaning a vow, he can break his i'tikaf and resume if he wishes. A vow, what we mean by a vow is if someone says, oh Allah, if you grant me this, I'm going to do 10 days of i'tikaf or 3 days of i'tikaf. If he does that vow, he must do the vow as the vow becomes a fard upon him. He must do it as he says. What is the duration of i'tikaf? How much? The Hanabila, the minimum duration. The Hanabila said it's a portion of a day. Portion of a day is sufficient. Hanafiya said any time is sufficient. Shafi'iyya said the duration one spends in ruku', the length of a duration that one spends in ruku', like 2 minutes or 1 minute that you spend in ruku', or 3 minutes, that's sufficient a time for i'tikaf. Once you enter the masjid with the niyyah of i'tikaf, that's i'tikaf. It could be for 3 minutes, for 1 day, for 2 days, for a month. The ones that limited with them were the Malikiya, who limited it for a day and a night, but really, it's what the three imams indicated, that there's no time limit. Could be any minimum amount of time you spend in a masjid. When I was a child and we used to go to the Prophet's masjid, I used to memorize the Quran. That's where I memorized the Quran. And we used to go there every single night for 4.5 years from Asr until Isha. And I remember we didn't miss a single day except one day. The masjid flooded because back then they didn't accommodate well for when it rained severely. And when we'd go in the masjid from Asr to Isha, my father would always remind me, when you enter the masjid, he say, have the intention in your heart to do i'tikaf. You go in a masjid from Maghrib to Isha, you make i'tikaf, the intention of i'tikaf, you get the ajr of it. Two people can enter at the same time, at the same masjid, and leave at the same time. One of them gets the reward of i'tikaf, and one doesn't. One of them had the intention of i'tikaf, and the other didn't. However, to reap the full benefits of i'tikaf, that's when you go in seclusion and you sever yourself from the world. I'tikaf, you leave your cell phone and everything behind you. I'tikaf from a fiqh point of view is sunnah. It's sunnah. Just like many think taraweeh is only sunnah throughout Ramadan, taraweeh, qiyam, and i'tikaf are sunnah throughout the year. Some say, well, if you want me be alone, I'll do i'tikaf in my house by myself. I'tikaf, for it to be i'tikaf, has to be in a masjid. That's the condition of it. The Prophet ﷺ's wives did i'tikaf in the masjid. Had it been permitted to do so in the in their house, the Prophet ﷺ would have directed them to that. Allah said, وَلَا تُبَاشِرُهُنَّ وَأَنْتُمْ عَاكِفُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ Surah Al-Baqarah. And then he said, "Antahira baiti lil-ta'ifina wal-'akifin." In Surah Al-Baqarah again. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's i'tikaf was in the masjid. You sever yourself from the worldly matters unless there's something important. You know, there's no problem with communicating matters that are important. I'tikaf in a house is not permissible, not even for a woman. It's not i'tikaf. You can worship in your house, but it's not called i'tikaf. Ibn Taymiyyah in the 15th volume said, "I'tikaf for a woman is in the masjid, and they should stay away from the house." He's mentioned that in the 15th volume of Fatawa. Some of the etiquettes of i'tikaf that one should know, some of it is that one should remain in the masjid and not leave unless it's an essential matter, like using the bathroom. It's better to remain in the masjid during i'tikaf than to follow a janazah. You know how much reward in follow a janazah, qirat of reward. It's better to remain in the masjid than to visit someone who's ill. It's better to remain in the masjid during i'tikaf than to have a relationship with a wife. Notice how these matters are encouraging. They got so much reward to them. But when you're doing i'tikaf, you're better off staying in the masjid. One can leave for essential matters, like for example, using the bathroom, taking a shower, to get clothes, maybe get food and drink unless someone brings it. He should bring the food. Go bring the food and eat it in the masjid. Don't go eat in a restaurant or at home unless he's unable to do so in the masjid. One can speak and talk to his family or visitors, as the Prophet ﷺ did with Safiya when he walked home. If you bring your cell phone, make sure you only use it for essential matters, especially the sister. They may need it to establish remaining in contact with their, but keep it for only essential matters. What invalidates i'tikaf is one being apostate, nas'alullah salama, women on their days, sexual relationship, ولا تباشرهن وأنتم عاكفون في المساجد. Leave in the masjid for no need. Some ask, when do I go to the masjid? The formal timing of entering the masjid is what Imam Malik said, and Anas and Sufyan said, that you go on the 20th day at the Maghrib of the 20th day, and you leave on the Maghrib of the final day of Ramadan. Of course, the rules of i'tikaf, one must be Muslim. It must be in a masjid. And you must have the intention of i'tikaf. And why I mention that is for the fourth rule, which is women, pertaining to women. Women need their husband's permission, their wali's permission, to do i'tikaf. Especially their husband. It's more essential. Just like she needs his permission to do the sunnah of siyam, she needs his permission to do i'tikaf. Because both are sunnahs. Many sisters asked, well, we heard that there's no i'tikaf for women. No, it is sunnah for women to do i'tikaf, just like men. It's permissible for them, and it's reward, and if they can do it, they should do it, if there's no fitna. Some masajid, you hear about stuff that they do i'tikaf, I say it's haram for them to do i'tikaf. Allah said, وَأَنْتُمْ عَاكِفُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. It's for men and women, as long as there's no fitna. عائشة رضي الله عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أذن لها ولحفصة رضي الله عنهما بأن يعتكفا معه. Sahih al-Bukhari, Aisha said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed her and Hafsa to perform i'tikaf. There was one time that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seen many tents in the masjid. No, they built tents, the women, to stay in privacy, not to go mix and mingle. They built tents and he ordered them be taken down and he canceled the i'tikaf himself. And he made up for it the following month. Notice he ordered that they be taken down and he canceled it himself. Now why did he do that? There's a reason behind that. Some of the ulama said they were ordered taken down because he disliked them to do i'tikaf because he may have sensed jealousy in competition. And they wanted to be close to him, and there's a jealousy factor, and they're there near him. That defeats the purpose of i'tikaf. The purpose of i'tikaf is to get away as much as possible from everything. And now they're near him. So it may have been a distraction. That's one opinion. Other ulama said it wasn't to deter women from i'tikaf, but rather when there was so many tents in the masjid, all the women wanted to do i'tikaf, there wasn't sufficient space for the men to do their obligatory matter. We have clear, solid, authentic hadith on with the Prophet ﷺ permitting Aisha and Hafsa to do i'tikaf, and that's what stands. In fact, more decisive and more direct than that is what's in Bukhari and Muslim. The hadith by Urwa, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يعتكف في العشر الأواخر من رمضان حتى توفاه الله ثم اعتكف أزواجه من بعده. The hadith where Urwa says after, this is after the Prophet ﷺ died, that the Prophet's wife did i'tikaf after him. And that's the overwhelming opinion of the great vast majority of the ulama and of the madhahib, that a woman is like a man in i'tikaf. Make sure you got permission and also that there no fitna. Take advantage of these nights. These nights are, you remember when we mentioned some of the Salaf when they were in their youth saying, we're like horses trying to sprint in worship to get to the finish line. And they said that in their youth, not at their final days. Now it's time to get ready for the final 10 days of Ramadan. You got to sprint in them, in Salah, sprint in praise, in glorification, in Quran, in charity, in any worship that comes to your mind that's from the Quran and the Sunnah. These final nights are pregnant with a night better than a thousand nights. The Quran, the night the Quran was revealed in. You take time out of your comfort and out of your sleep. Overcome laziness and stand up in humility on your feet. Lift up your spirit. Bury your sluggishness. Compete with the Sahaba so that when we meet them in Jannah, inshallah, they will know they left behind the men who were in worship like they were. The monks of the nights. Don't let these final 10 days be like the first 20 days. You don't let Ramadan be like your ordinary days. And you don't let the final 10 days be like the first 20 days. You excel in ibadah. Most of the month is gone. No one will know if you live till next Ramadan or whether you'll be in a dark hole surrounded from your left and your right and on top of you and below you with dirt. Two-thirds is gone. Two-thirds is almost gone. And it left at a lightning speed, and that's how your life is going to pass. Both the righteous and the bad regret days they missed out on. The righteous regret that they didn't do more, and those evil regret that they didn't turn to Allah in these times. Sprint in your ibadah to Allah, and He will sprint to you. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.